Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. What a masterpiece last night by Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. And if you just kind of said, look, this is a Monday night game I don't really want to watch. The Saints will probably kill them. The Colts are just an injury-riddled team that are they're just not good right now. A lot of it's them, a lot of it's injuries. They're not good. And if you kind of said, well, competitive-wise, I'll skip this one. You skipped a master performance by Drew Brees and the Saints. Now, look, the caveat is going to be, yes, the Colts defense is injury riddled, but that should be totally ignored because playing against bad defenses still wouldn't even come close to putting up the kind of performance that Drew Brees put out in that game against the Colts last night. He was 29 for 30. He had one incompletion. That was a short pass that was just a little off, and that was incomplete. Other than that, every pass he threw was caught. He threw for over 300 yards, so he did not dink and dunk those passes down the field. 300 yards on 29 completions. He threw four touchdowns and now is the all-time leader in touchdown passes, tying and surpassing Peyton Manning in the same game. They scored on their first six drives of the game. It was an absolute blowout. But it did something else. It reminded us how good this team really can be when they put everything together. Now, I will say the competition was not at the same level as they'll face in the playoffs. This is not a San Francisco team that they had to get in a shootout with. This isn't a Seattle team with an MVP level quarterback on the other end of the ball. This isn't, a team in the AFC like Baltimore that they could face in the Super Bowl. But when the Saints put things together, imagine those games in the Superdome. If you can get those games in the Superdome right now with the way this team is playing. And we'll get to the nitty-gritty details of this coming up next and what Drew Brees has meant in his career to not only New Orleans but the NFL in general. Because it was an absolute masterful performance by a 41-year-old quarterback. That's coming up as we roll along on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And maybe a lot of you last night, as we're getting close to the end of the season, maybe thought last night's game wasn't really must-watch television. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really thinking all day yesterday that, boy, Monday Night Football, I really got to settle in and watch this. I knew the Colts. I mean, I've been following the Colts pretty closely for some other ventures, and they're hurt. They're beat up. And I didn't think they were going to be competitive last night. I almost missed at least the first half because I had plans to take my kids out to go Christmas shopping for mom. But we got a massive thunderstorm, downpour, thunder, lightning, really bad storm, high winds. And so I used that as a nice excuse to stay home and figure what else I was going to do later on. I said, nah, I don't want to get wet. So we stayed home. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got to watch the whole thing, because to watch the Saints from the very beginning of this game just execute flawlessly was a real joy to watch. And watching that performance by Brees was just impressive. I mean, look, Brees has had plenty of impressive outings in the past. I mean, he's 41 years old. He's been around the league a long time. But just the machine nature of these two guys in Sean Payton and Drew Brees that have made a perfect marriage since coming together, winning a Super Bowl 10 years ago not consistently as much. I mean, there have been times where the Saints have had bad years and whatnot, but over the long term, they have been a team that has been consistently competitive. you know, except for a couple of dips here and there. And last night was to have a record-setting night and to have the performance to go with the record-setting night. It was just a perfect package. You know, last night after the game, he was talking and he talked about, oh, you always remember the one you miss. If I just planted my foot and threw it, I would have, you know, would have been 30 for 30. I guess that'll haunt me. That's a special mindset because that wouldn't haunt me 1 second.
No, not at all.
Not 1 second when I think about a missed throw. I mean, my God, in a 34-7 route. I mean, maybe he says that because it feels like that's what athletes should say. But I don't know. I mean, 4 touchdowns, brilliant night of passing, 148 rating. I mean, just whatever whatever the good numbers are, he had all the good numbers. He was great. He was absolutely great. Michael Thomas caught all 12 balls that were thrown to him. All 12.
He was phenomenal.
He might be the best wide receiver in the league because he catches balls all the time. He's on the verge of leading the NFL in receptions.
Even some that, you know, were thrown and you didn't think he was going to come up with, he came up with.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And remember, this is a Saints team at 11-3 now. They're back into the mix. I mean, they do lose the tiebreaker to the 49ers if it goes head-to-head in terms of home field and all that. It's all still got to be cleaned up in the wash of the next 2 weeks. But remember, this was a team that didn't have Breeze for 5 games. Had Teddy Bridgewater come in. Was it 5-6 games, right? I think it was 6. And Bridgewater went 6-0. Had Bridgewater just gone 3-3, this is a different conversation that we're having about the Saints and their victory. But Bridgewater kept the machine going too. And Breeze, with an almost perfect night, should just call it a perfect night, because I mean, going 30 for 30 on your throws. I mean, people don't do that against like Cumberland College. I mean, it was great. But at the same time, on the flip side of it, think about how many times this team has been disappointed in the postseason. The last 2 years, the Minnesota Miracle, and then losing on that pass interference mess last year. This is a team that is, when it's clicking, should go to the Super Bowl, but you can't really say that because how good Seattle is, how good San Francisco is, how good Green Bay is when things are clicking for them. I mean, it's going to be a very, very fun NFC playoffs, and I'm glad the Saints are finding their groove and their mojo.
Well, I mean, to that point, the way it sets up for the Saints is all the storylines. Because if the season ended today, they would play the Vikings.
Right.
So you get revenge on the Minnesota Miracle. They win that game, they go against Seattle. And Seattle right. was the team, remember, Saints were... I know they had double digit wins.
I think they were 11-5 when they had to go on the road to play a 7-9 team.
7-9 Seahawks and lost.
Yeah. And lost. I think they were 11-5. I'd have to look it up. But you're right. You're right. I mean, there's some history with this.
I know. And the way this team is firing right now, I don't know. I mean, the Seahawks I know could give them a good run for the Monday Niners. Obviously, you know, we can go down the list of teams that are pretty good. But yeah, the NFC, when you get to that last four, that's going to be incredible. That's an incredible weekend.
Breeze has had he's had such a really interesting career. You know, when you think of his story and the arc, being in San Diego, losing his job to Philip Rivers. You know, and they draft Philip Rivers, and they're like, Breeze is on. You know, he's on his way out. He's got the busted shoulder. It's
He'll
repaired.
Never throw again.
Right, and he. There was what? He was going to go to Miami, and they said no. And, you know, and then the Saints took a chance. But, you know, the Saints took a chance on Breeze at a time where the organization was trying to reestablish itself in the city of New Orleans. The city had been so decimated by Hurricane Katrina, and Sean Payton and that group were practicing in parking lots, and they were working out in San Antonio, and they were playing some games there, and they were just a vagabond team that had America's support, but they couldn't have the kind of local support that they were used to because the city was underwater and it was being cleaned up, and its citizens were scattered across the southwest and southeastern part of the United States, and in some parts all over the United States. And there was a real deep conversation of whether or not they should move to San Antonio and relocate. Now, you got to remember at that time, and it's easy to sort of go, oh, well, just wait for it all to clean up and just go right back to things. No, that wasn't the way it was going to work. there was real concern that, one, the financial infrastructure of that city was not going to be able to support the team the way you want local businesses and local people to support the team. Oh, of course, they would get their share of the merchandising rights, and they would get their cut of the TV deals. Of course, that was always going to be part of the deal, no matter where they were. But you do count on a level of sponsorships from the local businesses. You do count on season ticket holders. You do count on a level of local participation within your economic structure. That is all part of your economic plan, no matter what you are, no matter how rich the checks are from the league office based on national deals. And there was a real concern that New Orleans wasn't going to have that, that businesses would have to, they were going to have to relocate, as well as the people were going to have to relocate until things were really okay, until things really got cleaned up. And what did that mean for the Saints? What about the Superdome? How long was that going to take to get built? And so Breeze comes into a team. Remember, he gets signed, I think, a year later or so, maybe 2 years later or so. And he comes to a team that is still in that rebuilding stage. And he is part of the renaissance. He is part of the return that New Orleans was trying to get, not in terms of greatness, because they were always a team that was always hovering around, you know, they were either bad, you know, with the bags over their head or 500 or whatnot, but a return just to be in New Orleans, a return of to be in people's everyday life. And then a few years later, they win a Super Bowl. 10 years ago, they win a Super Bowl. And I think it's the most heartwarming Super Bowl win that we've had. I mean, I'd have to really dig into the Super Bowl victories, but to know where that city was, know where that fan base was. Listen, I tell this story a lot, and I think it's worth repeating on a morning like this when this celebration of the Saints and Breeze. When I was in Colorado Springs and I was doing local radio, it was around the Hurricane Katrina. And I remember my co-host and I, at the time, we were doing mornings, and we were just kind of hearing the news about the Superdome and the roof was, and we didn't really know the extent of what was happening there. We were saying, trying to put it in sports context when it was really more of a life context. But I remember in the weeks later, I kept saying, look, the Saints are going to have to move to San Antonio. This is not feasible. This is not going to work. They're an organization that has to find a business friendly situation, and New Orleans is not going to be that. And because Colorado Springs is a very transient town, people live from all over the country. They come there mostly for the military and then they stay. I had one Saints fan who called the show a lot, but he was in tears. He was angry and he was in tears. He was crying. And he said, you can't say that. You have no idea. You have no idea what you're saying. And I said, well, help me understand. He goes, this isn't just a football team. You don't understand. You do not understand how much this team means to the people of that city, to the people of New Orleans. You just don't get it. They can't leave. They cannot leave the city. And he kept repeating that over and over again until I realized he was being really emotional. He wasn't listening to me talk about economics. He didn't care about whether or not the Saints could attract a certain percentage of season ticket holders. He didn't care about any of that stuff. The only thing he cared about was, don't leave the city. Don't leave the city I love. That's as part of the city as anything that's in New Orleans. You can't leave. And it really made me rethink we all root for teams that are embedded into the culture of our city, but some have this sort of place, especially during times where you need to go home and your home is underwater and your home is destroyed and you need that back, but you need all of it back. You don't need part of it back. You don't need a reminder every day that storm took away part of your city, that storm will always be remembered as removing of something that was so embedded into the fabric of your daily life. You could go back to New Orleans, but if the Saints weren't there, that means the storm won even more. And it reminded me how important that really was. And then to see them win the Super Bowl, he was all I thought about, was this one listener in Colorado Springs when they won the Super Bowl. And I had gone my separate ways, gone to other things, but I never forgot him. I never forgot that guy, because I remember thinking, this might be, outside of his birth of his children or his marriage, this might be the happiest day of his life, easily the happiest day of his life, because the Saints were world champs and no one was going to take that away. And his team was in the city and they were the world champs. And Breeze was a part of that. And Breeze was an important part of that. That his ability to see, I'm not just coming here to play football. I'm not just going to throw some passes and try to win some football games. I am trying to bring back this institution into people's lives and to try to give them something even better than what they had before. And he's done that. he's absolutely done that. And all the work that he's done in that city to help it come back and to be part of New Orleans and to be, he does a lot of local good. He does a lot of things in that city. He's made that city his home. A lot of athletes do, but he has absolutely done that. And to see the record there, to see the record in front of that crowd with that performance, this is not a knock on the Colts because I know they had some issues going into the game injury-wise, but that was as perfect of a performance as a quarterback has had, and he not only sets the record, but he does it in a way that makes your jaw drop and makes you think that this is going to be really fun if the Saints are clicking this well when they get to the postseason. All right, we'll talk more about this and more about the overall picture of the NFL now that we are all done with Week 15, so we only got 2 weeks left. Where we stand in the playoff race, that's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, need a last-minute gift. O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, even a universal backup camera. Or you can get professional-quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99. And who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online and pick them up in the store. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so back to Breeze for a quick second. So he joined the Saints in 2006, right?
Yep.
Same time as Sean Payton.
Yep, he and Payton together.
What a marriage. That really has worked.
I know.
I'd like to see them gone to a little bit more than one Super Bowl, but still, it's hard
again,
to get
it's. I mean, we say that. We'd like to have seen them gone to more than one Super Bowl, but we have to think of all the circumstances that have knocked them out of the Super Bowl.
Could have gone to one last year.
Could have gone to one. Should have gone to one last year.
Right.
Year before that, I won.
That was the Minnesota Miracle.
The Minnesota Miracle.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah, there's a couple of issues there, but again, this, I don't know. Look, the NFC is, it's just really good, right? So, like, watching last night, I'm still like, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna go all crazy on New Orleans. Like, that's the team to beat because of that performance last night. It's too competitive. It's too, you know, get to the playoffs, it's too competitive. But my God, I. If that's what they're going to do, if that's how they're going to be that efficient, they might go to another one. It feels to me like there's about three teams, four, throw them in a hat, pick one out, and you'd be totally okay if you had them as your Super Bowl team. You know, Seattle totally can see a path. Green Bay, you could totally see a path. New Orleans, you could see a path. 49ers, you could see a path. Yeah, so, Minnesota might be iffy. Dallas or Philly might be iffy.
But I don't really see as strong of a path with Green Bay for some reason.
And yeah, maybe their game against the Bears was a little too tight.
Well, it's not only that, but I think I'm clouded by recent history.
I can see that.
It just doesn't seem like it still seems like they're missing a piece. I don't know where. Because this season, they certainly haven't shown them missing a piece, but it just still feels like, oh, they're missing a piece.
Yeah, I get it. I know that game against Chicago was a little, I thought it was a little too close. I mean, they still should, but, and the Bears were like a lateral away from,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But, you know, you have four teams in the NFC that are 11-3. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, you know, you've got the Ravens and the Patriots kind of on top there, but, and the Chiefs and Bills both at 10-4, but four teams, four are 11-3 and two are in the same division.
Well,
nuts.
What's amazing, what's amazing to watch in the NFC. I mean, I'm going to assume the Vikings will win this weekend. I'm not even sure who they're playing. I'm just going to assume that they're going to win. Really, the only playoff spot up for grabs is the NFC East.
That's right.
Everything else could be decided by this weekend. Yeah.
The Rams are technically, they're not eliminated, but no. They really are. I mean, they're not. They would need a lot of help to get back into this thing. But yeah, Dallas and Philly is the only one that's trying to figure out that remaining spot. You know, and then in the AFC, you've got, you know, the Texans and the Steelers and the Titans all kind of floating around in the mix. No, the Texans are actually on top of the division. So you have the Steelers and the Titans fighting for a spot. You know, do the Browns still have a chance? Not really. So it's going to come down to Pittsburgh or Tennessee for that other wild card spot, or Pittsburgh and Houston for that other wild card spot, depending on how that division comes out. But it doesn't have the level of outstandingness, if that's a word, to put in what the NFC has done this year. You'll take it. I don't know if it's a word
that's
or not.
I'll take the outstandingness.
I'm like the Dr. Seuss of Morning Radio. I'll just make it up as I go along. If it rhymes, it rhymes. If it doesn't, that's okay. I'll just roll with it. But, you know, so that's
all right. You said earlier, it's like, you know, this Monday Night Football game was like, you know what, I'll watch it. Nothing else is on type of thing. Yeah, you're not missing next week.
What is next week?
Green Bay at Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a tasty treat
that
is.
What a tasty treat. Well done, NFL, because that's the game that they have to lock in at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Right? They have to lock in all the Monday night games. Those can't be flexed. So sometimes you get duds at the end of the year where you're like, oh, shoot, we thought this would actually be decent. I guarantee when they booked this, they thought, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, why not? Throw it in there, baby. That'd be fun at the end of the season, right? And then Luck retires, and they're like, okay, well, you know, we're stuck with it. That's what we're going to have to do. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's one of the reasons why I really liked it when they came up with the system of flexing on Sundays, because you get some of these Monday Night Football games, it's just the teams didn't cooperate with what you thought at the beginning of the season. And the league tries its best. They try to give ABC's ESPN, you know, back when it was used to be on ABC and now ESPN. But they used to try to give them the best matchup they could possibly figure what it would be like based on projections and anticipation and, you know, buzz and what they felt like teams were going in. You know, they wanted to keep those ratings up. But, you know, last night, I don't care if the Colts were hurt. I don't care if the Colts were struggling, and they were struggling going into that game. I think just settling in to watch it, just having it on. And I was doing some show prep. I had some things I was writing, and I was doing and I just kept looking up, and I'm like, oh man, this game is, Breeze is on fire. And it wasn't that I was, you know, writing down every play or really watching intently. But you start noticing in the second quarter, here's another touchdown. Here's another touchdown. Here's another point, right? They're scoring on these drives, and you're going, okay, they really are clicking. And then you just settle in and watch how good they were. 420 yards of offense, right? No turnovers, no sacks. It was just a picture perfect game. And when it was all done, you looked at the box score and went, this is almost a perfect football game in terms of what they were able to do. It's crazy. So that is for that game last night. So what are the games? Now we got the three Saturday games coming up, because now we're in the Saturday mode where the NFL goes, all right, we're going to make it your whole weekend now that we got that pesky college football season over with. Now we're done with that. So there is going to be Houston and Tampa Bay, Buffalo and New England, which is really good. And then the Rams at San Francisco, which should have been good and isn't going to be good. Well, it's going to be okay. I think the Rams are competitive.
It'll be competitive, but it is
could spoil the party.
But it is a disappointment.
Yeah, that the Rams are spoilers instead of active participants in the NFC fun zone that we're talking about.
But like you said, I mean, they could make it. They would need a ton of help, though.
They need some help. They would need the Vikings to lose twice, and I think they also need a couple of other teams to help them in a tiebreaker situation, I think. I saw some list, and it was like too much work. Sure. Yeah, it's like the Browns. Like the Browns need a bunch of things to happen. It's a little messy.
Oh, the Browns. I mean, forget it.
Well, the Browns can't. You know what? The Browns can't play the rest of the way if everybody on their team is looking at the sidelines going, come get me, please.
Yep, that's true.
Come get me.
That's a tough way to go about
it. Tough way to go about it if players are actively seeking employment.
And then the report comes out that the Browns are like, oh no, we're all in on Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, we're in on Freddie Kitchens. Aye, aye, aye.
It's like, do a straw poll through the locker room before you make an announcement like that.
I think if I'm Ron Rivera or Mike McCarthy or whoever is out there, because I saw Peter King did a piece on Mike McCarthy and I totally forgot he was floating out there as a potential head coach. You just sit back and tell your agent when they call, you know, make sure we talk because I got some ideas. The guys who really coach must really look at that team and go, God, that is just a waste of resources. You got all those, they got all that talent, but they have no. I'm sorry, I don't care. When they beat the Steelers on that Thursday night game, they were in a prime position to make the playoffs, and they had the beatable Dolphins next week. And you know, they did beat the Bengals and whatnot, but they don't feel that they've lost a level of urgency since that game against the Steelers. When they beat Pittsburgh on that Thursday night game, they They were getting back. They looked at a schedule and said, there's some beatable, winnable games here. If we can get the winnable games under our belt and we get to that Ravens game, a team we've already beat, but we're going to get them at home. Like, we've got some momentum. We can beat the Steelers again. We can beat Arizona at Arizona. But they didn't beat the Steelers at Pittsburgh, and they didn't beat Arizona at Arizona. And now they're on the outside looking in. There was a path for them to get into this conversation, and they failed to land it. All right, coming up next, I want to talk Urban Meyer and the Cowboys.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Even if you just want to say hi, we'd love to hear from you. Even if you'd like to say, you guys are awful, we'll still like to hear from you. We don't care. Just, you know, drop us a line. We don't
tell
care.
Tell us we're awful, we'll fight you.
We'll fight you, right? Football and basketball season in full swing. Get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. You can sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit to start betting college and professional sports. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser, you can straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season. You can even get those wild proposition bets, like who's going to win the NBA MVP. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over to the website. You can use your mobile device to join and use promo code SBNation55, SBNation55, and get your 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so I want to get to Urban Meyer and the Dallas Cowboys, because did you see Urban Meyer was in the suite at the Washington Redskins game?
All right, real quick.
Okay.
If Urban Meyer starts just showing up watching games at different stadiums at the request of an owner, are we to assume that, oh, he's going to that team?
We're going to play that game because people want to play that game, and it's not necessarily true. So he was at the Redskins game, and I think he was at Army Navy. So he's like in the town, go to the Redskins game. Obviously, the Redskins are going to be looking for a new head coach because they just fired Jay Gruden and Bill Callahan is on an interim basis. So they're looking for a head coach, and there's Urban Meyer in the box. Now, if you're Jerry Jones and you know, the season ends up not going the way you want because Jason Garrett, is Jason Garrett, you're going to talk about Urban Meyer. But my question isn't these NFL owners going after Urban Meyer. That's a given. They're going to, because he's Urban Meyer, for crying out loud, and he's free. He can coach. But if you're Urban Meyer, do you want to go be the head coach of the Washington Redskins or the Dallas Cowboys? Do you want an owner if you're Urban Meyer? Now, don't get me wrong. When Urban Meyer was at Utah and Florida and Ohio State, he had a boss, right? There was an athletic director. There was a school president. I mean, those are his bosses in the hierarchy of the way the structure works, but he's also Urban Meyer, the head football coach that's not losing games and beating Michigan every single year. It's different when you're a coach in the NFL with two really eccentric owners that are very controlling and do not, under any circumstances, let people get in the way of that. Right? When you're Daniel Snyder, it didn't matter if it was Joe Gibbs. It didn't matter if it was Steve Spurrier. It didn't matter who it was. You're Dan Snyder, and that needs to be at the forefront, the most important thing about the relationship with any coach that comes through the door, that in the end, I'm the owner of this football team. You can kind of push an athletic director a little bit. You can push a school president a little bit because they know how important you are to the overall structure. Because in the end, they're state employees too, right? If you're at a public university, they're state employees too, and they can easily go as well as you can go. But an owner doesn't go anywhere. An owner goes nowhere. He's not going to get fired by the fans. There's no board of directors that's going to kick him out because of mismanagement. He owns the team. If you're Urban Meyer, do you honestly believe that you have the personality that can handle that level of authority when you've never really had that on a level from college? Or do you say to yourself, I might just be more built for college? where I actually can run this. Now, look, that situation at Ohio State with his assistant coach and the sexual domestic violence, and he didn't handle it properly and got, remember how angry he was over that? He wasn't happy. He didn't like that. He did not like that. But an owner is going to come in to tell you to do things, and you, there's no other way you can have to process that. Working with Jerry Jones, for example, takes a special kind of mindset. I'm not saying that he doesn't have it. I'm saying from what I see of Urban Meyer, I wouldn't go down that road. Because listen, he dealt with serious stress while he was at Florida. He dealt with serious stress while he was at Ohio State. That's nothing compared to taking over America's team. All right. And that's nothing compared to taking over the Cowboys. The thing about working for Jerry Jones is, the legacy you're building can be tarnished, not in a long-term way. We don't look at coaches who have come and gone from the Dallas tenure any differently than when they got there. But you do lose it a little bit being somebody under the regime of Jerry Jones, whereas you were the regime at the places that you were last. You were the regime at Ohio State. You were the regime at Florida. I mean, you had a level of supporters that understood what gift you were giving that program, and it did turn a blind eye to some serious stuff. At Florida, he had a lot of his players arrested, and yet people were really enamored with him because he was not only winning games, he was putting Florida in a constant position to be a national champion, winning twice, and being in the running for a number of the other years. Same thing at Ohio State, right? That issue that he had with Zach Smith was a situation that was serious enough, but there were so many people that said, yeah, but it shouldn't fall on the feet of Urban Meyer. What did you really want him to do? Why? Because they were turning a blind eye to that because he was beating Michigan every year, putting the team in a position to win national championships and winning a national championship. Now in Dallas, he's not going to be able to, he's not going to be levied at the, he's not going to be at the center of the controversy that comes his way. That tends to stay within the athlete, right? If Ezekiel Elliott does something wrong, that tends to fall on Zeke. If Dak Prescott were to do something wrong, run afoul of the law, there's not going to be somebody coming at his door saying, when did you know and how did you know it and why didn't you do anything about it at the time? It usually doesn't happen at that next level where players are more responsible for themselves and there isn't an overriding sense that I'm kind of taking care of your kid like you do when you're a college coach. But nevertheless, there is an authoritative figure in Jerry Jones. It's very powerful. He wants to be involved in everything. And if you're Urban Meyer, you've never really had that. Where did you have that at Ohio State? Where did you have that at Florida? Where did you have that at even Utah? Where there was just people constantly telling you how to run your team and what resources that you had within that team. And as Steve Spurrier found out when he left the college game, which he was greatly fit for, right, where he had the mindset, the attitude, and the salesmanship, he just couldn't translate that into the pros where it was a business all the time. Oh, you want me to do this? Talk to my agent. Oh, you need me to do this? Talk to my agent. You want me to, you know, you need to cut me? Talk to my agent, right? It was all business, business, business. With kids in recruiting, you just went out and got as many of the good kids as he possibly could, sold them on coming to Florida or South Carolina, and Urban Meyer did the same exact thing. Come play for me. It's going to be a better situation for you. I mean, I'm not throwing out the I'm Urban Meyer card, but throwing out the I'm Urban Meyer card. But that doesn't work in the NFL. A player is not going to play for you because you're Urban Meyer. He's going to play for you because the contract works, and the guy who controls the contract's upstairs. And the guy who controls the numbers is upstairs. Now, maybe he's at an age, because he's still relatively young. He's still in his, what, mid-50s? He's relatively young to give it a whirl. That's the other part of diving into this swimming pool of NFL coaching opportunities that's going to come in a couple weeks. And Cleveland's on the list too. If I'm the Browns, I make a run at him as well. I put my name in that running. And he's old enough to sort of say, let me try. Let me figure it out. Maybe this is something I can do. Maybe I'd like it better. Maybe I would like the infrastructure better. Where I am, I'm not dealing with kids and I'm not going to their homes. I never really enjoyed to do that in the first place. Maybe he's of that mindset. But I do know, when I do get a good sense from him, that he's a guy that just likes to control his own situation. And yet, like I said, he had to answer to the athletic director. He had to answer for the school president. But in the end, he also knew where the bread was buttered. He knew that. Always knew that. But that's not going to be the case working for Dan Snyder. It's not going to be the case working for Jerry Jones. In the end, results. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Urban Meyer, and I don't use this term lightly, right? Because I don't want to, it's not a cliche. He hates to lose. He really, really hates to lose. Really hates to lose. I can't stress this enough. All the coaches talk about that, right? I went 11-1, but it's that one loss that I couldn't sleep over. Yeah. We all hear, because you should say that. You're the coach, right? You're a college coach and the fans are upset that you lost that one game and you should be too. But Urban Meyer really hated to lose. He hated to lose at Florida. He stressed out about losing at Florida, quit his job for a few minutes or a few days when he did lose at Florida, and he hated it at Ohio State too. He did not lose very often, but when he did, he really, really, really took it hard. In the NFL, you lose a lot. You lose a lot. And you lose more times in a year than you would in 3 or 4 years at the major schools in which he worked at. It is possible he'll take over a Dallas Cowboys team and have an 11-5 season if everything goes right. That's 5 losses. Imagine how many years you have to coach at a place like Ohio State to garner 5 losses, right? You only lose once or twice a year if you lose at all. And if those losses brought you down to a point where you just, it would drive you crazy, you better change that mentality in the NFL, because there are no Western Carolinas on the schedule. There are no teams that you should roll over in week 3 to sort of get ready for your conference schedule. And even though NFL teams have seasons that go completely awry and they're 2-10 or whatever, there are no easy games. And if you have the mindset of, man, losing really drags me down, you're going to have a problem coaching in the NFL, because you have to manage all of that. Because Bill Belichick says it all the time, right? We're on to Cleveland. We're on to the Jets. We are on to Miami. We are on. And that is the right attitude to have if you're going to be an NFL coach, because you cannot dwell on the loss to the Eagles in week 3 if you're a Dallas Cowboys head coach. You really have to compartmentalize that and get rid of it and get it out of your head. You cannot think about that while you're preparing for this upcoming game against the 49ers. You have to literally put it out of your mind. And that takes another separate mindset that he has to have. And again, he may have all of these lined up perfectly, but I've been following this guy for a long time, from the Mountain West when he was at Utah to all of his time at Florida. Lord knows I followed him really well when he was at Florida and even at Ohio State. And I know he takes losses really hard. And I'm just worried that when he gets to the NFL and the losses come, because they come for everybody, that he's not going to be able to process that in the way you should have to process it. Right? You have to be able to take a loss and go, I have great things out of this loss that we're going to incorporate next week. And I have terrible things out of this loss that we're getting rid of right now. And I just, for a guy that's never done that before as a head coach in the NFL, how does he process that? How does he get through those tough times in this league? Because they are tough times. And you are not going to have the best team every year that's the envy of everybody around. You're going to have years where you're going to go 12-4 and make the playoffs and make a run. And then there's going to be years where you're going to have a team that should go 12-4 and doesn't. And what do you do then? Because all of his Florida teams, for the most part, did what they were supposed to do. All of his Ohio State teams pretty much did what they were supposed to do. He didn't have a top 5 team in the preseason and all of a sudden went 6-6. He didn't have that. I think he had this final year at Florida went awry for him. But and then he left. Right after that, he left. So just thinking about Urban Meyer, when I saw him in the suites, saw him being kind of connected with Washington, connected with the Cowboys, possibly connected with Cleveland, whoever else will be looking for a head coach. Just the thought about Urban Meyer's future. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Start this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. God, getting ready for the end of the year, huh? It's already the 17th of December. That means we've already passed the halfway point of the month of the final month of the year.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Better get to work on my New Year's resolution for 2019.
What do you have? Yeah, exactly. You have 2 weeks. I think about 2 weeks to really make sure you land the New Year's resolution.
If you don't do it in these last 2 weeks, you're only disappointed yourself.
It doesn't count. Have you ever had a resolution that you kept?
No.
Because I made a funny comment yesterday to my wife because I've been eating a lot of sweets around the house lately because they're all over the place and I got
to
stop.
That was your resolution to eat more sweets?
So my wife said, I know they're around the house, but they're supposed to be when we have company and you're eating them all. And I said, that's okay. After the new year, I'm going to start dieting a little bit better. And she goes, stop it. I've heard this every year from you for whatever, however long.
I said that to my wife the other day. I said, hey, 2020, it's a year, we get healthy living. I'm not saying we're getting in shape, just healthy living. And, I mean, she's in agreement with me, but I think back to how many times we have said that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're just going to go through the pantry and throw out everything. I'll believe it when I see it. I tell you right now, and I don't want him to leave for college, but my son, when he leaves for school, I think our house is going to be a little healthier. My son buys some of his own junk food because we don't buy it for him, and now he's got a job and everything, so he comes home with bags and bags of stuff. He works out all the time, but he eats junk food, and I said, you're kind of defeating the purpose. And he goes, I know, but I don't care. He buys
but he still has that metabolism.
He does. He has a metabolism like an engine. So he eats like a bag of Doritos when he hangs out with his buddies, one of those big bags. He doesn't care.
He doesn't have to.
But the problem is,
at one point he will care, but right now he doesn't have to care.
Right. But the problem is he leaves him around, and that leaves him around for me.
Of course.
Right. So he's like, hey, that's mine. And I go, well, the house, the electricity.
You're not paying rent.
It's easy, cowboy. I can take these Doritos.
Hey, the bag of Doritos, cheapest rent you've ever had.
That might be might be the case. Absolutely. Take it while you have it. Wait till you head on out to the real world. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, again on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, as we roll along on a Tuesday morning.